should come to Caris to get a more in-depth relationship with the Lord.
The experience is amazing. You get so full of the love of God.
You will never, ever be the same again.
And so we wanted to take a minute here as we get started on our next session. And those of you coming on in, just come on in and get your seat again. We want to just say, is there a name, when you think about sickness and disease, is there a name that you can think of that might be a little harder for Jesus than another name? Like when you think of headache, okay, well that's, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say that's maybe a 1. But when it comes to cancer, what do we do in our hearts and our minds? We begin to magnify certain names above other names in our hearts, and we create this system within our hearts to where we're setting ourselves up for something that is just really difficult for Jesus. In fact, one day, I remember, Carly, this was probably 4 years ago now, we had a lady from England who came over, and her son had autism. Mm-hmm. And she was so desperate to receive healing for her son, and had heard that we believed that nothing was impossible to those who believe. And she said, I've never even heard of somebody being healed of autism, but I'm coming because I believe that it's possible. Amen. And you know what happened? What do you think happened? See, autism is just another name, and every name is under the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the name above every name. Amen? So one of the things that's being exalted in our culture today are certain sicknesses and diseases. And I mean, I don't believe a lot of people are trying to do this intentionally, but cancer is certainly one of those things right now that is really being elevated as the big C. Mm-hmm. And I've got news for you today. Cancer is the little C. Amen. And it's been trumped by the big C, Jesus. Amen. Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Good deal. You know, I was at church last weekend, and I met a lady that was healed at one of our Healing is Here conferences. I'm not sure if it's last year or the week before, and her name was Kathy. Are you here today, Kathy? Where is she? Do you want to come up here for a minute? She has a testimony, and I got talking with Danielle, and she's going to need a microphone. And I just thought it would be really fun for Kathy, come on up here, be brave. Don't worry about all these people, just tune them out. Okay, don't look at them. Just preach to the clock back there and just ignore them, okay? But Kathy, can you tell us, which year did you come to Healing Is Here?
I came last year.
So last year. And when you came to Healing Is Here last year, what was wrong with you?
I had been diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer in 2012. And I had went through several chemotherapies. And I did not really embrace the disease. But I did not believe that God really, I didn't believe in healing.
You didn't believe in healing, but you came to Healing Is Here?
My sister brought me.
Wow. Good sister.
And actually, when the altar call came, the first Tuesday, she didn't even look at me. She just looked straight forward, and she just says, I'll watch your purse.
She was a woman of faith.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Come on. That's awesome.
So I came up, and it was really a call, I believe, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was that day, praise the Lord. My life changed.
Amen.
And I knew when I left that day that I had been healed of the cancer.
Amen.
I also had a lot of side effects because of the drugs they put in me. And one of the side effects was my left leg, my lymphatic system didn't work. And I had been in a high compression sock for 3 years, approximately, clipped my thigh.
Is it because of the chemotherapy?
It was actually because of the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I put that sock on when I got up. I wore it till I went to bed. And my husband, bless his heart, we had a machine that would pump my leg every night, because if I didn't wear that, my leg would just puff up like a balloon. Nice. And you know, I went home that Tuesday night, I threw every one of those socks in the trash.
Amen.
Every one of them.
That's Jesus.
And And that machine, it stayed in the bedroom for a couple of days, and finally one day I told my husband, you know, get it out of here. It just reminded me of what that was. I don't know what he did with it. It's gone.
Amen. Stage 3 ovarian cancer. Jesus nailed it.
Praise the Lord.
Done.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you.
Come on, let's give Jesus praise today. Thank him. Hallelujah.
Amen. What a testimony. And you know, Jesus is no respecter of persons. Here's Kathy, come along to a conference, and she had a fair share of doubt and unbelief. But she came here and she met the presence of God. You know, it's really hard for sickness to stay in the presence of God. If you're willing, you might not understand everything. We might not have all of your doctrine in the right place. But if you come and encounter the living Jesus, I tell you, you can be healed. You don't have to leave here the same way you came in.
That's right. You know, when you come into the presence of the healer, sickness is going to leave.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, Jesus is so amazing. When you think about how excited we just got just now, listening to that praise report, can you imagine the heart of God and how the heart of God feels for you? How the heart of God yearns for you to be embracing and living in what he's already provided for you. I remember Andrew and I having a discussion one time. We were talking about New Covenant worship and just, you know, sharing some thoughts about this. And he was describing, and he's taught this publicly, but he was describing about a time when we were in a worship service together at a different place. And the beginning of the worship service was going really well. And then they began to go into these songs that, you know, are calling down the Lord as if he wasn't there.
Game show Jesus.
You know, what'd you say?
Game show Jesus.
Game show Jesus.
Come on down.
Come on down, Jesus. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, you know, please show up.
The time is right.
And, you know, they kept saying, Lord, come. And Andrew said, I wanted to stand up and go, he's here already. Well, imagine how the heart of God yearns for you. The Spirit of God in you yearns jealously for you to be able to grab a hold of what grace has already provided on your behalf.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks, we are going to be in for an amazing week this week. How many sense it already in your hearts?
Amen.
Amen? It's going to be incredible.
Amen.
God is for you, and if God is for you, what are we going to say to these things? Cancer,
Amen.
Things, whatever the name is, if God's for me, no one can be against
Amen.
Me. Amen. Nothing Amen. Can be against me in Jesus' name. So we want to take a few minutes today to talk about, as a minister, we've spent a few minutes now talking about how our sufficiency is really from the Lord. It's from his life within us. But we play a part in partnering together with him by hearing the Holy Spirit. Amen? Mm-hmm. By hearing the voice of God within us, the life of God that's in us. And I think this is where a lot of people think that there's something wrong with their spiritual hearing. They know Andrew can hear from God, you know. They know Brother Roberts can hear from God, you know. Or Dwayne Sheriff can hear from God. But what about me? I'm just a little old believer. No, the Bible says if you are his sheep, what? You know his voice. Amen. If you're born again, you've got the ability in the grace of God to be able to hear the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Carly and I say is the most important thing, aside from operating in the love of God, is hearing the voice of God.
Amen. It's crucial.
It's crucial, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Why is it so crucial, Carly?
You know, we can't effectively minister to anybody by ourselves. We've already mentioned that in the last session there. But we want to, when we come into a ministry situation, we're making ourselves available on another person's behalf to be able to hear the Holy Spirit and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And every person we come across is different. You know, when we look at Jesus' ministry, he didn't have a cookie cutter approach. He didn't say, well, you follow this 10-step program and, you know, do this little dance and thy shall be healed. I mean, it wasn't, everybody's different and they receive from God differently. And so, you know, when Jesus ministered to people, he met them at the point of where their faith was at, but you know, he ministered to them as an individual. And when we rely on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows that person inside and out.
Yeah.
He knows things about that person that we could never possibly know just in a natural thinking. Mm-hmm. And so being able to listen to the Lord is crucial to really effectively ministering to a person.
Yeah.
He knows how, he's the healer, he's the comforter, he knows how to reach a person at a heart level. We can't do that in our flesh.
Yes. And does the Lord always want us well?
Absolutely.
I mean, if the Holy Spirit is in us and his desire is to see people healed, then do we ever have to pray the prayer, Lord, if it be thy will.
If it be thy will. No, we don't.
We're really not sure, but if today's a good day, Lord, wow, it would be so awesome. I mean, what we go through trying to discern the will of God, mm-hmm. you know what the will of God is? The will of God is the Word of God.
That's right.
If we want to know what the will of God is, all we have to do is open up the Word of God and find out what God's Word says. And does God's Word say he wants us well?
Amen.
Yes. Who went about healing and doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil?
Mm-hmm.
God did not oppress people with sickness and disease. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Amen? So we never have to wonder, God, is it your will for this person to be healed? You can settle that in your heart once and for all. And so what you're hearing from the Lord always has to confirm what the Word of God says. And what we can settle in our hearts forever and ever is that God wants you well.
Amen.
But let's personalize that this morning. Would you just say that out loud with me? Say, God wants me well. Yeah, say it again. God wants me well. He said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's say it one more time.
God wants me well.
Man, that just is good to say. Amen. No matter what's going on in your heart, no matter what's going on in your life, you can settle that issue once and for all that God wants you well. So what are we going to start hearing? Are we going to start hearing what's in agreement with the Word of God? Or are we going to hear from God something counter to his Word? See, some things are more obvious than other things. We understand that. If we heard a voice saying, Buddha is Lord, we would immediately know, okay, that's not God. But what about when some well-meaning teacher gets up and tells you the 20 steps you have to go through in order to qualify to receive healing? See, that's a whole different thing. So we've got to find out what God's Word says. And this is one of the things we're so grateful to Andrew and Jamie and for this message that they've been teaching for all these years now about how God wants you well. And you know, it's not always a popular message. In fact, people literally will fight you to stay sick.
Some people are quite convinced about it.
Absolutely.
They're passionate about this.
They're passionate about it. And you know, I understand some of the things around this, but it never really does make sense to me because, for instance, I saw a person in a wheelchair come forward for ministry, and it seemed obvious to me what their need was. So as I was taking a minute to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What do I need to be hearing right now? As I approached this person, I felt like the person was not where I thought they were going to be based on what I was hearing on the inside. Because for me, it seemed obvious that they were going to want to be set free from that encumbrance that they were living in and come up out of that wheelchair. Well, when I said, how would you like for me to minister to you today? This person said, would you agree with me for my finances for rent to be paid? I'm like, yes, I will. And I began to minister to them. Well, as I got down to a deeper level, do you know what their fear was? They didn't really want to be healed because if they did, they would lose their disability. Now listen, You've got to hear from the Holy Ghost, because sometimes people's fear, where people are, is keeping them in bondage. They have literally put limits on God, even though God doesn't have limits on them. They've put limits on God and what God has already provided. Isn't that tragic, Carly, that someone would actually reject something like this because of the limitations in their heart? And yet we do it in various ways, don't we?
Yeah, and really what that tells me is that there's not a real understanding of the true nature of God.
Yes.
If God, I mean, it's kind of crazy to believe God for your healing, but you can't believe God for finances.
Right.
I mean, you know, in the scriptures, like the finances are the least of things.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we find that healing and sickness and poverty go hand in hand.
Yes.
And these are, you know, it's interesting because they're the very things that were paid for by the atonement of Jesus Christ. You know, many people, we can read this in Isaiah 53, you know, Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. And he paid the price for our healing, but there's so many other things as well. And as believers, it's interesting to me that many people would feel very comfortable about believing God for something they cannot see, like their salvation.
Yes.
But they struggle to believe for something physical, tangible that they can see.
Yeah.
Like their healing or their finances, prosperity. And it's interesting, it's a complete reversal of what we see in biblical times.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just thinking of Jesus' ministry, and people really struggled with the whole idea of Jesus being the atonement for sin, but they seem to receive healing very easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking of the story of the man on the bed, and Jesus says, you know, what is it easier for me to say? You take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven you?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, people were connecting easily with the area of healing. They'd seen Jesus had a healing ministry.
Yeah.
He'd gone around the town healing people, and, you know, word had kind of gathered pace, and people had, you know, been telling their neighbors, and, hey, have you heard that guy is walking around healing people? Come on, we need to go down to the village square or wherever it is. You know, we need to go down to the well and see this man. He's told me everything I could never know. He told me all about me. We need to come see him.
Yeah, and they had seen it.
And they had seen it. And so when they came to Jesus, they had the expectancy to see a miracle, to see something tangible. But yet, especially the religious people, they found it really difficult to believe that Jesus could be the sacrifice for sins. Well, they didn't know that at that point, to be fair.
Yes.
But Jesus was the Lamb. He was that ultimate sacrifice. So they put their faith in something that they could see. But today, we easily put our faith in something we cannot see, and we leave the rest of the atonement package on the table. We eagerly accept the gift of salvation for sins which we cannot see, but yet we struggle to believe for things that we can see. It's a complete role reversal.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting.
And what's so amazing to me is we put our faith in salvation typically so easily in the church world, at least today, and yet believing in a God that we haven't seen, believing that God actually raises dead people? Jesus, you really believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? And you're going to put your faith in someone who raises dead people? Have you ever seen him? And yet you believe. And you really believe that he was able to be raised from the dead. Uh-huh. And yet we struggle with receiving healing for a headache or whatever the name is.
So if you can believe that a man was raised from the dead, surely, I'm just putting this into some sort of scale here, right?
Yeah.
You know, you've got, an ingrown toenail down here, and then it may be a headache, right? And maybe, a broken limb, or a liver failure, or a cancer, and then there's death, right? So you've got ingrowing toenail to death. We can believe that somebody was raised from the dead, but we struggle for our ingrowing toenail. Does that make sense? It doesn't. It's not even logical.
It isn't.
The fact is, as Christians, we're putting our faith in something that was in a person that was raised from the dead. There's no sickness that's worse than death.
Right.
If Jesus paid the price for our sin and he rose from the dead and conquered every sickness, then surely that's enough for our ingrown toenail.
Amen.
Amen. And let's get some heavenly perspective on these
come
things.
Come on, I'm telling you. Amen. You know, and in this atonement package or in this salvation package, I remember teaching, I did a whole series here this few months ago in the healing school on this topic. And it was amazing as I began to research some of this, what you find on the internet, and how many people will fight you about sin being provided in the atonement, but not healing. You know, they've got it all divided up into neat little segments, and this is okay, but this isn't. Well, you know what? When we talk about the life of God, we're going to be talking about this over the next few days more, but there is so much that was provided in the atonement for us. You know what the problem is? We don't know our benefit package.
Right.
That's the problem.
We have Jesus with benefits.
We've got the best benefit package in the world.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's out of this world.
And there's no deductible.
Amen. So Jesus said in the Psalms, or the psalmist David said, really, through the word of God, forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
Well, first of all, you have to know them. Mm-hmm. And then once we know them, let's not forget them, and let's especially not forget them when someone's trying to talk us out of them.
Right.
Amen? We've got to know what the Word of God says, and we've got to know that we're hearing from God, and what is it that God is saying to us so he can say it through us.
Right. And you know, if we are to accurately be able to discern when it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, when we're hearing from God or when we're hearing from our flesh, we have to have an understanding of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, God only confirms through his Word what he's written in his Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, everything he told me to write down on this little card here was Scripture. I didn't know it when he spoke it to me, but it just brought me so much joy when I went back and studied it out and found that they're all Scriptures.
Yeah.
God speaks in his Word. He mm-hmm. confirms his Word with everything he says. But if we're not familiar, if we don't have the relationship with the Lord that's intimate and life-giving, we're not going to be able to hear what is the Lord and what is just our flesh.
Right.
You know, when I married my husband, you know, obviously I know we've been married 18 years and I know him a lot better now than on our wedding day, but if somebody was to come to me and say, Ashley said such and such, or he cracked this joke, or, you know, I could instantly tell you whether that sounds like something that he'd say or not.
Yeah.
Because I've spent time with him, because I know him, because I have an intimate relationship with him. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit and with hearing from God. You know, the more we practice listening to God and spending time in a relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. the better we get to know him, and then we'll find, we come to that place where we just know right away whether that's God or not.
Yeah.
When I was a baby Christian, I struggled a lot more with doubt about things. Is that really God? Whereas now I've been a Christian, you know, a number of decades, and I'm like, that smells like God. That sounds like God. I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's part of learning to hear from God is part of having a life-giving relationship with him.
Yes. When you were first born again, did you hear God in a way that had a lot of limitation in it, would you say?
A lot of limitation in what sense?
In other words, how were you hearing God? Were you hearing God on kind of a baby Christian level compared to now?
Really, I was hearing God through my pastor on a Sunday. So it was regurgitated food. And you know, that's never going to sound appetizing, is it?
Yeah.
Really. I mean, I'd rather eat it myself. So, but yeah, that was a weird analogy. But, you know, I did come to a place where I realized I had to get in the Word for myself. And that, you know, you can't microwave that miracle.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, relationship takes time. Everything, all of who we are, all of the power that flows through us and the gifts that flow through us are based in relationship with Jesus. And I mentioned in the first session, you know, let's start seeking the healer and the healing will come. But relationship with God is the crux of receiving everything from God.
Yeah.
You know, he's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but it comes through relationship with him.
It really does.
And that takes quantity and quality time.
Yeah.
You really can't bypass that. I'm just thinking of
hearing scripture. The voice of God is not a hard thing. What is hard for us is we are so marinated in unbelief in our culture today that the expectation to hear God among certain people in our culture today is actually classified as mental illness. True. If you go to a psychology or psychiatrist or, you know, some kind of something, and you say that you hear God, they have a pill for you. Oh, yeah.
And a white coat.
But you know what? I have a pill for them, and it's called the gospel.
The gospel.
Amen? We are expected to hear the voice of God. It is not hard. And listen, How wonderful would it be if you were the devil, if, you know, okay, work with me here just for a minute. If you were... If you were the devil, wouldn't you try to lie to the entire body of Christ that you couldn't hear God? Wouldn't that kind of make sense? If you were the enemy of God, to try to convince every believer that they could not hear God, and if they did, they probably had some kind of emotional or psychological problem.
Right.
Well, you know what? We know that the devil is the father of lies. He is absolutely the opposite of God, and from the standpoint that when the enemy lies, he's always going to take truth and pervert it. He's going to take a little bit of truth and turn it into error. And you know what? When you do that, you're going to be off course big time, and you're going to come up with some kind of counterfeit doctrine, and the only way that the body of Christ can sort of excuse the fact that healing has passed away is to put it in this package to where we can't really hear God unless we're really qualified. We've got to go to seminary. We've got to have a degree. We've got to have some kind of something, you know? And then maybe you'll be able to hear from God. But, you know, be careful what you hear, because all this supernatural stuff, don't you know, has passed away. The power of God was here, but I'm so sorry. You know, when the last apostle died, whoop, out of here.
I don't think there's an expiration date on my Bible. I haven't checked. I mean, just...
Check the back and make sure there, would you?
Maybe in the index. Huh?
No?
Not in there. No.
We're good?
Good.
Okay, so... Power of God, still here. Word of God, still alive and powerful. Jesus Christ, still the same, yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Presence of God, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I am the I am.
Amen.
And I am the one on the inside of you that's going to flow out of you in power, in power. I mean, get a hold of this. In power. Whose power? His power.
Amen.
So we've got the ability to hear the voice of God. And you know what? We've got to get to the place where we do not receive the doubt and the unbelief that's being spoken over us, but instead we judge those words when those words come against us, and we absolutely come against that by the word of God instead of just drinking it in.
Right. And you know, I think we come to that place through relationship.
Yeah.
All of those things are available to us. I'm just looking in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God.
Yes.
In the knowledge of God. Grace is multiplied to us in the knowledge of God, who has, and of Jesus Christ the Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. He's given to us all things. You know what that word all means?
All,
right? Deep, huh? Mm-hmm. But if you study it in the original language, it means all. That's everything. Nothing is excluded in the word all. He's given us everything. That pertains to life and godliness. So everything that is good for our life, he's already given it to us. And this is how. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That word knowledge, it's talking about an intimate understanding, an intimate knowledge. This isn't just a, you know, like a one-night stand relationship. This is a marriage relationship.
Yeah.
Think about this. God has given to us everything that's good for our life.
Yeah.
But and all power, but it comes through our understanding, our knowledge, our intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to know every thought of Jesus. I want to hear every word he has for me. I want to hear the still small voice. I want to feel him closer than my skin.
Yeah.
That's the kind of relationship I'm searching for. Amen.
So let me ask you, Carly, when people are thinking about, okay, well, I hear what you're saying, and I really do want to hear the voice of God. What does the voice of God sound like?
You know, this is interesting.
I mean, is it like that movie, you know, Cecil B. DeMille, I think produced it years ago, The Ten Commandments? You know,
God.
This is the Lord speaking.
It's
kind of what we expect in a sense, isn't it?
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
Especially if that was you.
Yes. That would be a big man on the inside.
Yeah.
That would be scary. It's only Tuesday morning, Daniel. It's already happening.
Well, it'd be like me. How about this one? This is God.
Just let the inner voice out.
That would be a little weird, too.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, the way the Lord speaks to us is not mystical. You know, he's a spirit and he speaks to us spirit to spirit.
He loves us.
Amen. There are so many ways he speaks to us, but often when he's speaking on the inside of us, the voice of God on the inside of you sounds like you. That's why sometimes it can be really hard, really easy to miss it. The voice of God on the inside of us can sound like us.
And he'll speak in a language
right.
that you'll understand.
When I'm hearing the Lord, it's not in King James.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right? It's not. It's in my funny little lady English accent.
You know, my dad was a pastor, and I grew up in a ministry home. And I remember so many times when we'd be having a conversation, maybe around the dinner table after church or whatever. And then, you know, as we sit down to the table, someone would say, you know, Pastor Amstutz, would you say grace? And all of a sudden, we went from this normal conversational tone to...
Oh, you used the prayer voice.
Oh, God, we beseech thee, O Lord, we thank thee most... And I'm like, wow, that is so weird. He was normal just a minute ago.
I don't know what happened.
The spirit of King James got him.
Oof. Whoa. Something just came over him.
Yeah? And I think that's what we do when it comes to God. We segment God into various parts of our life. I did this for a long time. I thought God was only interested in salvation and lengthening legs and arms and healing and,
you were charismatic,
you know,
then.
Big stuff.
You
right?
had the leg lengthening. That was
you were
charismatic.
What? Yeah, well, that's true, right? Especially when I came out of where I came out of. I was so excited about this once I began to discover that this was real. But I segmented God's voice into certain areas of my life.
Right, I can only hear God if I'm in my prayer closet.
Yeah.
Or I can only hear God if, you know, X, Y, and Z happens.
I couldn't imagine that God would actually care about little things in my life.
You know, this is part of the marriage relationship, though.
Right?
It was revelation to me when Jesus told me one day, I want to have small talk with you. Small talk.
Yeah.
So I started practicing this. I'd wake up in the morning, I'm like, good morning, Lord. How you doing? He'd be like, good morning, Carly. How you doing? I'm like, wow. You know, I never anticipated. I just thought, you know, you get Jesus out of the closet when, you know, you got a crisis happening, right? You've done everything else and it's not working, so now it's time to pray.
Or like when you got born again, he's like, I told you once I loved you.
Yeah. If anything changes, I'll let you know. I mean, that's, what kind of relationship is that, right?
Right.
You know, we got to have a small talk relationship. If every time I want, you know, the only time I went to my husband was when I wanted his wallet for something, that's going to be a pretty poor relationship. But we do, we find ourselves guilty of treating Jesus that way. You know, the only time we pray is because we want to receive something from him. But, you know, there's so much more to our relationship with Jesus than what we can get from him or what we can do for him. Especially people in ministry get in this trap, you know, they're more concerned about what they're doing for Jesus. They stop being just a child of God.
Man, don't even go there.
Man, we just need to be still and know that we are his. We are a child of God.
It's in him that we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
And you know, he cares about everything.
I mean, even the little things.
Even the little things.
Even the little things.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny. I was at Bible college, and I think Don Crow was speaking, actually, one of our instructors back then. And he started talking about Holy Spirit hide and seek. And I'm like, my little religious brain was going, wah, 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 you know, something's wrong.
Uh-oh.
But then I started thinking about it. Hang on a minute. God is real and tangible and wants to be involved in every area of my life.
Yeah.
Wow. Then he must have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right? He must be funny. He must laugh at things.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, you know, we can start practicing this.
Yes.
And you know, you can play Holy Spirit hide and seek, where, you know, people go off and he told this story of going off and hiding in a field and then somebody going in a truck and going to find him and, you know, just searching by the power of the Holy Spirit, completely random places, just go and sit somewhere in the middle of nowhere and see if your friend can find you.
Yes.
Just by listening to the voice of God.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to this and just thinking, man, God, I want to have that kind of relationship with you when I can hear the still, small voice, not just in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
How many of you know that trying to listen to God in the middle of a storm is you know, it's hard, it's noisy, it's scary, right? You know, you need to tune in before the storm happens if it's going to be real effective.
Come on.
And so we were at home one day. And I'm just, everyone's out. We lived in a farmhouse in England. Everyone's out. And so I'm sitting there, and because we lived on a farm, we had farm cats, okay? And some people are cat people, some people are dog people. We're dog people, actually, okay? But we had cats because we had mice, okay? So anyway, they're all there, and I'm on my computer just typing some emails, and I just finished baking a pie. And no one was in the house. It was a rare moment. So I put the pie on top of the stove to cool down. I went to do my emails, and I'm up there in my bedroom on my computer, and all of the cats, we had like four cats, are all sitting around me watching me play with the mouse, which is kind of ironic. No, there are real ones out there. Get busy. But I'm sitting there, and I'm just, you know, chatting away to Jesus, and all of a sudden I hear from the Holy Spirit, the cat is eating your pie.
Now, how did you know that was the Holy Spirit?
Well, his voice sounded like me on the inside of me. And let me tell you, that was a really random thought. There is an interesting way that you can tell if God is speaking to you. One of the ways that I like, anyway, you know, I'm conversing with Jesus, just chit-chat, and all of a sudden something will come into my head that's unconnected to anything else I've been thinking about. And it's not because I'm hungry and it's lunchtime and I'm thinking about pies,
yeah.
All right? But I'm like, Lord, is that you? And again it came, the cat is eating your pie. I'm like, well, that maybe I'm hungry. Maybe I should just go eat some pie. Maybe, you know, that's really weird. That doesn't sound very holy. But again, it was really strong. The cat is eating your pie. I'm like, okay, Jesus, I'm just going to go check on the pie now because, you know, it could be you. I'm just gonna, I mean, it seems so unconnected. I'm just going to go check. So I walk down the stairs, and all the time, the cats, 1, 2, 3, 4, they're all sitting around me. I'm like, the cats are all here. Okay, none of the cats are missing. They're all accounted for. But I'm going to go downstairs and check. And as I go down into the kitchen, there is a cat in my kitchen eating my pie. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you.
You know when you get a told you from the Holy Ghost.
Told you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Jesus cares about my pie. Right? He created the heaven and the earth, but he cares about my pie.
Amen.
You know, that's a funny story, right? But he cares about us.
Yes, he does.
He's interested in just the little things. And I didn't realize at that moment how important that little exercise was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, a few days later, I was driving our kids to school from our farmhouse down some country roads, and they're really fast roads, but they're just single track roads with big hedgerows because they're rural. There's not usually any cars around there. And as I'm driving down the hedgerow, I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Brake!" I'm like, I'm not going to pray about that one. I'm not going to fast. I'm just going to slam my foot on the brake. There's no cars around, but I'm going to slam my foot on the brake. And as I slam my foot on the brake, just around the corner from the hedgerow where I was, through the gap in the hedgerow there, came this big tractor. We would have had a 60-mile-an-hour head-on collision with the tractor. That's how important hearing the voice of God is. We've got to practice it in the quiet moments.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? It could be life and death to you.
Yeah.
It's important.
Tracy and I had an experience when we were celebrating our anniversary in Hawaii one year. We'd been over there for a worship conference, actually. And the day of our anniversary, the pastor found out it was our anniversary and wanted to take us out to dinner. We had a lovely time. But when I got into the car that morning, it was one of those big, you know, this was like in the 80s, one of those big Ford LTDs, you know, huge, huge car. And the pastor was driving, the pastor's wife was in the passenger seat up front. And I heard this voice say, "Take authority over a head-on collision." And I was like, "Wow, that's weird." So I didn't say anything to Tracy. I didn't want to worry anybody. I just turned softly to the window next to me and I said, "I bind that in Jesus' name." Well, what I didn't know until that night was Tracy had heard the very same thing, but she didn't say anything to anybody else. So that night, we have a lovely dinner. On the way home, he's taking us back to the hotel. It's raining. It's pouring that tropical Hawaii rain that sometimes happens. And we're going around a mountain corner, and all of a sudden, the pastor yells out, "Oh my God, he's in our lane." And this vehicle comes in our lane in front of us. And all we had time to do was just say, "Jesus." And we shouted out the name Jesus. And in that moment, you guys, it was the most incredible experience because that car that was in our lane literally went through our car and went on the backside behind us.
Man.
I look behind me and I'm like, whoa. I thought we had died and gone to heaven. And I thought that's how quickly it must be when we go from this earth into eternity. I'm telling you, we got out of the car and we had ourselves one happy worship service.
Amen. That was a praise party.
Right there in the pouring rain.
Amen.
But what would have happened had we not heard the voice of the Lord? What would have happened had we not participated by taking authority?
You could have gotten into fear, but he pre-warned you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the Holy Spirit leads us. It says in the scriptures, he leads us into all truth.
Yes.
And so when we're ministering to people, we need to hear the Holy Spirit. We need to hear. He's the minister. How can somebody get fixed without the instructions?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not our job as ministers to fix a person. That's Jesus' job.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the healer.
He knows
not the
way
healer.
Better than we do, doesn't
right.
he?
Right. And so when we tune into the Holy Spirit, he'll show us how to minister to everybody as an individual.
Yeah.
With the love and compassion that will reach their heart to a point where they can receive the healing that he's trying to get to them.
Yeah. Amen. I remember one day we were ministering at a gospel truth rally a few years ago, and this lady came forward to receive healing, and it seemed obvious, again, what the need was. But the prayer minister said, listening to the Holy Ghost, what would you like for me to pray for you for? And you know, it's so important for us to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying rather than just assume, right? And so as we listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying, many times it's not what's obvious. It might seem hidden. Many times it's a heart attitude that has to be adjusted. You know, maybe someone's dealing with hardness of heart, and in some area they've been wounded, and once that heart issue is healed, boom, the healing just flows.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And I remember so many times in ministry where we've run into situations where what seems obvious in the natural may not be what's really going on
mm-hmm.
underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to hear what the Spirit of God is showing us,
yep.
seeing what he's showing us,
absolutely.
And hearing what he's saying.
Absolutely. I remember a lady in healing school one time, and you know, she wasn't sure whether this healing thing was even real.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, she'd come from that background of things had passed away with the apostles. She didn't have any experience of the things of God.
Yeah.
But she was in so much pain and so much difficulty and tried everything else. She's like, well, I might as well give it a go. And so she came to healing school and just, you know, she'd tried to be prayed for before. She'd, you know, nothing had happened. And, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yes.
When people have been prayed for time and time and time again and nothing changes, you can come to that place where you just don't expect anything to happen the next time.
Right.
And so you get exactly what you're believing for, which is no change,
nothing.
Right? You're not expecting anything to change. And so it'd come to such a point in her life where it's shaken her at her faith level.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even sure if God was real. She wasn't even sure if God loved her anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if he was real and he did love her, then what was going on with her body? Why couldn't she receive healing? She was just in that place of utter despair and frustration.
Yeah.
And so she said in her heart, I'm going to go up for prayer. But God, if you're real, you're going to have to tell the prayer minister what's wrong with me. Because I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
It was like she'd kind of thrown out a fleece there, almost like a test. But you know what? She might not have had her doctrine in the right place, but God meets us where we're at. This is the grace and compassion of God. He loved that woman so much.
So much.
He wanted to reach her. And so when she came for ministry and she explained to me, I just don't feel, you just pray. You just, you know, just do your thing. You're the prayer minister, you just do your thing. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me here. This is an unusual one. This isn't usually people tell me what's wrong, you know. But I started praying in tongues for a short period of time. And I had the word liver on the inside of me. Just kept coming to my mind. And, you know, I'd prayed for, she had a multitude of different symptoms, this lady. She had pains and issues all over her body. And as we talked, some of those things slipped out. You know, she got more comfortable with me. She let me pray for her foot that was sore. She let me pray for her knee that was sore. We kind of developed a little bit of trust, but she never mentioned the word liver. So I was like, Holy Spirit, are you sure? She hasn't mentioned the word liver at all, right? But okay. And I said, look, I mean, no change had really happened in the physical and the whole time I've been praying for her. And then I realized, you know, probably should ask God. He's pretty smart about these things. And he probably knows it better than I do. Just a hunch.
Just
a hunch. Yeah. And so I go to pray for this lady. Go to speak to this lady. And I said, you know, as I was praying, I just feel the Holy Spirit leading me to pray for your liver. Is that okay? And instantly, this lady just fell apart. She was a $2 suitcase
right there.
I mean, she just fell apart, right?
Yeah.
She was like a mush. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I've broken her. That's it. She's, I mean, what did I do? I just said a word. And, you know, what that said to her was, she said, you don't understand. I've said to the Lord, I'm gonna keep this part to myself. I'm not going to tell you that she had a whole liver failure. That was the cause of all of her problems.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if God really loved me, he would tell you that for me. And, you know, that woman, she went away from that meeting that day, not only being completely healed, but she knew that God loved her. He loved her enough to go before her and tell somebody something that she couldn't.
Isn't that awesome?
I mean, God just loves us that much.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, if I wasn't listening to the Holy Spirit that day,
yes.
I could never have known those things in
That's
the
right.
natural. And that woman might not be here today.
And you know, the Holy Spirit is so practical, Carly. I
he
love
really
that
is.
So much. In fact, the Holy Spirit, one of his names is literally the helper. Now think about that. If you were called the helper, wouldn't you want to help? I mean, I know that's deep.
It's the helper. That's what he does.
That's what the Holy Spirit does, is he is the helper. Look at this scripture over in John chapter 16 and verse 13 and 14. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost helps us, we've got an inside scoop.
Amen.
We've got something that the enemy doesn't know anything
about. It's an unfair advantage.
It's unfair. I mean, really. We've got an unfair advantage, and you know what? It is awesome, isn't it?
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. I love that so much. And how God leads us into truth, not only for ourselves, but for someone else.
Amen.
And this is really exciting because you know what? When the Holy Spirit helps you, he will always help you to be conformed to the image of Christ. He will not help you to be conformed to the image of the world. In fact, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, we know the scripture so well that we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not going to be conformed to the ways of the world. So the Holy Spirit would never help us to be conformed to the ways of the world, but what he'll help us is to be conformed to the ways of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, in this, we begin to discover that, you know what? God really does want us well. And he doesn't just want me well, he wants you well. Amen? So why would he not operate through me in healing? Why would he not help me to get healing to someone? See? The Holy Ghost is the helper. And once we begin to understand that God is for us, he loves us, that he wants us well, then everything begins to shift in our heart, doesn't it?
Amen. It's powerful.
It's powerful. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13 to 14 says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, look at that, by reason of use have their senses exercised, both good and evil, to discern both good and evil. So you know what? There's just nothing that's going to replace experience.
Right.
Just jumping in and getting going.
You know what? Doctors practice, don't they?
Yeah.
They have a practice.
It's called medical practice.
Right. You go to their doctor's practice. That's what
right.
it is.
You practice medicine.
That's right.
Well, you know what we do? We just practice the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. The presence of God in us, you know, let's just practice it. You know, start with goldfish, you know, maybe puppies, you know, and then, you know, however God leads you, just start where you are. And I'm telling you what, it's exciting. And you know what? This is not just limited for adults.
Right.
Amen? This is for kids as well.
Amen. We've seen many children come through our prayer ministry training, actually. Parents have brought their kids along and been part of it. And, you know, the interesting thing with kids is they don't have a smaller version of Jesus, right? They don't have a miniature spirit on the inside of them. They're complete people.
Yes.
Amen. I've seen small children flowing in spiritual gifts, and actually they find it a lot easier because they don't have the unbelief that adults do.
That's it.
They haven't sat there and thought of all the reasons why it's not going to work for them.
Right.
Right? You don't have to convince them. You know, Jesus is your superhero, and he's giving you superpowers. Well, hey, I'm in. Right? That's it. I mean,
yeah.
Now go pray for someone.
I'm telling
easy peasy.
You, it's powerful. So when we begin to raise up a generation like we are right now, believing that the Word of God is actually true, amen? Believing that the actual
amen.
Word of God really is the actual Word of God.
Amen. Watch out, Mr. Devil.
I'm telling you, look out, Because, you know, in our culture right now, how many of you would say that it's probably looking a little crazy? Yeah? Our political systems and, you know, just stuff, the way things are going right now in the world. Well, you know, what a better time than now to rise up and allow the life of God that's in us to not only flow out from us, but to help those that we're connected with, both younger and older. You know what? You're never too old to be effective in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You're only limited by how you think. Amen? The same is true for how young. You're not too young to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy to be an example to the believers and how he was living his life. So young people, I want to just encourage you today. I know there's several radical young people in here already. I see one right over here I know personally. And man, I tell you, if you want a healing, get a hold of this little guy over here, because he'll just not let you stay sick no matter what. And we're going to see a generation rise up in this hour that is not going to be intimidated. We're not going to back down. We're not going to back up. We're not going to shut up. But we're going to rise up.
Amen.
And we're going to declare the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it all starts by hearing the voice of the Lord in us and realizing what the Word of God is saying, and then saying what he's saying.
Amen. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. Amen.
So we're going to have our prayer ministers pray for you this morning at some point. And we'll have prayer ministry available at every session, actually. But, you know, one of the phenomenons that I've enjoyed about healing is here is by the end of the week,
yes. There
really isn't very many people left to pray for.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing because both past years now, this is our third Healing Is Here conference. And our first one was obviously we had not experienced this yet until we were seeing it happen. But all of a sudden, those of you attending were starting to pray for one another.
Right.
It was happening out here as much as it was happening up here. And we began to see miracles and healings happen like popcorn.
Amen.
I mean, it was just happening all over the place. And how many of you know that that same Jesus is the Jesus who's in this place right now? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's here. And if he's here, then healing is here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're excited. We're expecting great things. Amen?
Amen. So this is a charge. This is a charge for everybody. This is an interactive event you've come to. You might not realize it, but you're now part of the ministry team. That's it. Put your hand up if you're a believer. All right? You know, it says in the scriptures, the word works effectively in you who believe. That means the word of God is working effectively in you right at this moment. You've got who's got the healer on the inside of them? Amen? Where's the healing power of God right now? Inside of you. You're packed full of the healing power of God, loaded like dynamite, right? You might not realize it, but you're locked and loaded, ready to go.
Amen.
Amen? And we're going to have our prayer team down here as well, and we'll help you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would really encourage you to come on down and visit with one of our prayer ministers, because all of what we've been talking about this morning is going to make a whole lot more sense once you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, man, big time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, when I grew up as a Baptist, I had no idea about the baptism of the Holy Ghost until I was in college, and what an incredible difference that made. You know, the first thing I noticed after I was baptized in the Holy Ghost is the Word of God that I've been reading most of all my life that I can remember, all of a sudden the Word of God came alive as if it was the first time I had ever read it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost, who is the teacher, all of a sudden, the power of God, I'm telling you, he began to help me to understand passages I had never understood. I began to see things differently, and everything started connecting in a brand new way on the inside of me. And I began to see the power of God flow out from me in ways I had never seen before.
Right.
It's exciting.
Amen. We have so many. We've got a whole section on spiritual gifts. I'm not sure that we're going to get there today. But
yeah, probably not today.
Probably not today. But, you know, the hearing from God and relationship with Jesus, relationship with God, is the first step to flowing in the spiritual gifts.
It is.
And these are crucial things to be an effective minister of the gospel and effectively help people to receive their healing.
Yeah.
But it comes with that relationship with God, understanding who we are in him, who he is in us, and how to hear him.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love this scripture, Carly, out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. A lot of you will know this already. But Jesus said, you know, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You know, Christ in you is not about visitation. This is about habitation.
Amen.
Amen. This is a place where the Spirit of God is going to be in you 24 hours a day. Amen. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk to you and talk through you. And the voice of the Lord, man, if there's ever a time when we needed to be declaring the voice of the Lord in our culture today, it's now. There's a whole generation, you know, I think of what the Apostle Paul saying, I didn't come to you with my personality, my paraphrase here, but I came to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If there was ever a time when we needed to hear the voice of the Lord and see the power of God demonstrated, it's now.
Amen.
Amen?
Now.
Now.
Now faith is.
Now faith is.
Amen.
So how many are ready to flow in the power of God? Amen?
Awesome.
Hallelujah. You know, the first time I ever laid hands on the sick, I will never forget it because I was so afraid. You just did it afraid. Huh?
You did it afraid.
I did it afraid. Amen. Actually, I did. And I kept thinking to myself, what happens if nothing happens? Which was so ridiculous because if you don't lay hands on the sick, how many know nothing will happen?
That's for sure.
That's for sure. Nothing will happen. Amen? What if nothing happens when you come to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, I can assure you, if you don't come, nothing will happen.
Amen? Come on down.
Come on down. I tell people all the time at the healing school, come on down. The price is right.
Amen.
It's been paid by Jesus. Amen. It has been fully paid by Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So listen, guys, what we've been talking about this morning is listening to the Spirit of God, being a voice to our generation. In fact, I love this scripture out of Matthew 10:27, when Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the dark or in the private, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Listen, God is speaking. It's not that God's not speaking. It's just that we haven't taken the time to develop our hearts to be hearing hearts. We need to be people who are hearing the voice of the Lord and then declaring what it is God's saying. And I'm telling you, this adventure that we're on is really incredible. It's fun. It's not boring. And trust me, it doesn't get dimmer and dimmer and less. Amen? We can expect to see greater and greater. In fact, Jesus, if you go through the scriptures and the Word of God, and you begin to find out, I was thinking the Gospels, but all of the scriptures, if you go through the Word of God and find out how many times it says much more, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. How much more?
In some translations, it says ask or even imagine.
Ask or even imagine. So what would that be like if we begin to hear the Lord praying in the Spirit, taking time to listen, and then declaring what it is God says?
Right. And let's hear from God and get in agreement with what he says.
Right? And then let's speak that out and let's watch the power of God be made manifest.
Amen.
Jesus said you can speak to mountains. You can speak to hard places. You can speak to difficult obstacles in your life and see them removed. Amen? So how this happens is not by you being powerful, but it's by the Spirit of God in you who is all powerful, and then speaking out what it is that we're hearing in faith. We're speaking it out in faith in agreement to the Word of God.
Amen.
We never have to worry. If we can find it in the Word of God, we can declare it.
Amen.
Amen?
Done deal.
Done deal. So let's do it.
Do it.
Amen?
All righty.
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for us to take a minute this morning. Well, we're going to take more than a minute. But if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man, what a great way to kick off this conference. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait till Friday night. Let's just hit this thing Tuesday morning. Amen? And one of the things that happens when we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the power of God that's already in us is released in us completely and totally. We become submerged in the power of God. And the power of God literally begins to flow out from us. And in the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe. You know, if you've been marinated in the Holy Ghost, you know what's going to happen? The flavor of the Holy Ghost is going to come out of you.
The fragrance of Christ.
The fragrance of Christ is going to just flow out of you. And signs and wonders, all the things that you see in the Word of God are available for us today. There is no limit when God is in it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to just encourage us to take a few minutes and let's pray in the Holy Ghost just for a few minutes for those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if you've not yet received the baptism, we want to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. But I want to take just a minute and pray in the Holy Ghost, and then we're going to stop you and I'll tell you what we're going to do next. Okay?
Amen.
So here we go. You ready? One, two, three, let's go. Awesome. Just pray it out. Pray out your prayer language. Pray it out boldly.
That you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit when he has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth.
Amen. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Thank you, Lord. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Amen. There are already people in here. The Holy Spirit is working in your body right now. He's already touching you. He's already working through your blood vessels and through your nerves and into your muscles and your tissues and your joints and your bones. He's already opening up airways that were previously closed.
Thank you, Lord. Some of you are already hearing the voice of the Lord as you've been praying in the Holy Ghost. You're now hearing with your understanding. The Bible says that you can pray with the Spirit and then pray with the understanding. Pray in the Holy Ghost and then pray out with the understanding. Lord, we just bless you for speaking to us today. We thank you for being our helper. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the I Am. You are the always present one. You are not someone distant that's far away. But Lord, you are in us and you love us passionately. Thank you, Lord God, for leading us into truth and showing us things to come. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace to not have to be conformed to our culture, to be conformed to doubt and unbelief and fear and stress. Thank you, Lord, that there's a rest and a refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we just bless you today for the refreshing that's coming even right now, that nerves are being restored and being healed in Jesus' name, that stress is leaving bodies right now in the name of Jesus, that we are entering into the rest of the finished work of Christ and the refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. And your presence is not only in us, but you are filling us to overflowing right now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just give you praise. We thank you for it. We honor you today. Let's just stand to our feet, can we, and just lift our hands to the Lord and just bless the Lord. The Bible says that in the sanctuary, we can lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and just bless the Lord. Let's do that this morning. Let's just bless the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving in this place today. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We recognize, Lord, that you are the worthy one. You are the one that is good. Lord, you are good. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord, with hearts of thanksgiving today.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you that you have forgiven us of all of our sins. You've healed us of all of our diseases. We say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Bless the Lord who reigns. Bless the Lord who reigns. Lord, you reign in us and you reign through us. We thank you for the believer's authority today. That in your name, Lord God, you said we could do the impossible.
Amen.
You said we could do all things through you who strengthens us. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you today. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm just hearing the Lord say that there is somebody here that has put a stake in the ground today. Today's the day. You just come here and you're determined. You are not going to walk out those brown doors that you came in the same way. You're going to leave differently. And in your mind, just grab hold of that stake and just ram it into the ground, because this is the moment, people. This is the moment at which you can come and take back what's yours.
Yes.
Come and take the healing that the devil has stolen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So come... come receive. Hallelujah. Come expecting. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. As we were praying, I just heard that someone's being healed of fibromyalgia right now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You've come in here with fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is leaving right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is not your identity. I want you to see that under your feet right now. Fibromyalgia, you're gone. You're under our feet in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. I'm seeing someone with heart valves that keep sticking. They get clogged up. They don't open and shut properly.
Yep, I was getting
heart valve problems in here? Okay. We just speak to those heart valves and we command them to open and close as you were created to be.
Amen.
Right now in Jesus' name. Open
right
and close
in
it.
The name
healthy
of Jesus.
Blood flow
yes.
right now in Jesus'
Praise
name.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer of a perfect heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone's got a brain injury. I believe it's on the right side above your ear, here towards the back of your head. You have a brain injury, and you've been told that you're just going to have to live with this. Your family member's been told this. God is healing that right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, that brain injury right here is being healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I'm seeing someone with lesions covering their internal organs. There's internal organs that they have lesions that are growing, things that are growing on them. Who's that? Who's got things growing right there at the back? Put your hands up so we can see you, because you're a long way in the back there.
Somebody over
if
here
you're
too.
Around these people with their hands up,
Jesus
you need
name.
To lay hands on them, okay? You're part of the ministry team now,
yep.
So get with it, okay? We're just going to speak to
on.
Those lesions, and we command those lesions to leave,
gone,
shrivel
in
up
Jesus
in Jesus' name.
Right name.
Amen. You have
Amen.
No place, growth lesions, you have no place in these bodies right
now.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank
we
you,
wish
God.
To demand new, healthy flesh to grow in the place where those lesions
Amen.
Were. We speak restoration, life, and peace to every organ in your body.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Do you?
Man, the Holy Spirit cares so
Amen.
Much about us. And he cares for us.
Amen. Amen.
That's why 1 Peter 5:7 says that we are to cast our care on him. Because of how much he cares for us.
Amen.
See, God never designed for us to be carrying care. In the body of Christ, I'm telling you, sadly, so many in the body of Christ are so stressed out. Jesus said, I came to give you peace. Amen? And my peace is not as the world gives. My peace. And Jesus does not want us living with stress. Some of you are on medication right now due to stress. And I'm telling you, this conference is your conference.
Amen.
You're not going to have to stay on that medication anymore. God doesn't condemn you because you're on medication. Listen to me clearly. God is not condemning you because you're on medication. He's just got a better gospel.
Amen.
He's just got a better way for you to live. And he wants you to live abundantly. Praise God. Not stressed out. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
His joy is your strength. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Should we call our prayer ministers down?
Yes, I'd love to. Let's call our prayer ministers up if we can. All of our prayer ministers obviously have been through our prayer training, and they are so excited to be able to minister to you. This conference is obviously one of their favorite conferences because they get to put into practice not only what they believe, but also to see the life of God flowing through them, as we've been talking about today.
Amen.
Many of these people are regulars for our healing school, and we see every single week God do amazing healings, amazing miracles. How many know that everything God does is truly amazing? And the greatest miracle of all is being born again.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if you've come into this conference, maybe you're one of these people that was brought here, like the lady who testified of being healed of cancer, Kathy, was that her name?
Yep.
Yeah, and her sister brought her. You know, many times we see this to be true, that when someone needs healing, often it's their, as we say, their four crazy friends that bring them into this environment.
Amen.
Referring to the man who was on the cot, and he wanted to get to Jesus. And he couldn't get to Jesus, and so his four crazy friends took the tiles off the roof to be able to get him down into the presence of Jesus. And it's so great when you have friends who love you that much to bring you into a place of truth and into a place of freedom.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, the greatest miracle of all that we're going to see this week is those who are going to be born again.
Amen.
And again, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, man, today is your day. We want you to receive the baptism of the
Amen.
Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues and flowing in the power of God. It will be awesome, awesome, awesome. And we're so grateful for our time together today.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for coming. This afternoon is going to be incredible as we have our street ministry time.
Great.
And then tonight, get here early. Andrew's going to be speaking tonight. And it's going to be incredible as we celebrate more of the grace of God together. So let me do this. Those of you who want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, would you just boldly shoot your hand up in the air right now? Say, that's me. Look at this, all over this
Amen.
Place today. Come on. Come on, all over this place today. Woo! Glory to God. I know we've got people in the overflow. I know we've got
Amen.
People watching on the internet. Let me tell you, there is no distance in the Spirit of God. Wherever you are joining us from, all around the world, the Lord said he sent his word and healed them. You know what? There is no distance in the spirit realm. You can receive right where you are, as well as us receiving here. So those of you in the overflow, we have prayer ministers downstairs as well as the prayer ministers who are here. And I want to say, those of you who are ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come on down,
Amen.
For the price is right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let them get
come,
through.
On.
Come on.
Come
down.
Right now.
Come on down.
Come
down.
Right now. Those of you who want to be baptized
Amen.
In the Holy Ghost, come right now. Come on. Come on down. And let our prayer ministers lead you into the baptism
Amen.
Of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In fact, you know what I'd like to do? You know what I like to do? All of you who want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, just come here in the front. We're just going to do this at one time.
Yeah, you want to
Amen?
Just pray for them?
We're going to do this at one time.
Yeah.
We got way too many people to try to have each person be prayed for.
And then we'll
come on
have
down.
A,
just fill up this front area.
Lay hands on you.
Yeah,
there
come on, everybody. Just fill up this whole front area.
Just line up.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. Right. Come on.
So just form a line.
Just keep on coming.
Right here, the premise is going to lay hands on you in just a moment.
Just come on down.
Daniel's going to lead you in a corporate prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to have our prayer ministers lay hands on every one of you, okay? It'll be much easier that way because there's so many of you. So prayer ministers,
just pack on in here, everybody. This is awesome.
All right, we've got hundreds of people down here. Keep on coming. Work your way through the crowd.
Just come on in, everybody. Just pack it in. I'm going to pray over everybody at one time, and we're just going to receive together in Jesus' name. Praise God. Come on down. I was going to have the prayer ministers pray for you individually. Some have already been started praying for, but we're just going to pray for everybody together in one big corporate prayer, and we're going to see God do incredible stuff here in about 3 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They're still coming. Hallelujah. Come on, pack in. Pack in.
All right.
It's all good.
They might be coming up from the overflow.
Amen. This is awesome.
All righty.
Hallelujah. You say, what'll happen if I don't come? Nothing. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is powerful, and He wants to be powerful in you and overflow out from you.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you are here to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hands again.
Wow, look at all this.
All my baptism of the Holy Ghost people, are you up here?
Okay, just baptism of the Holy Spirit people.
Just baptism of the Holy Ghost.
All right, you're all down the front now by the looks of it.
All right.
Awesome.
Now let me pray a prayer over you guys. Prayer ministers, if you guys would, just pause for a minute, and I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now for Jesus. We're so grateful for Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that we've been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are born again, that we believe that you were raised from the dead, and we believe it in our heart, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for the incredible salvation that you purchased on our behalf. We receive you, Jesus, into our heart. We thank you that we are born again in Jesus' name. Now, Lord God, we thank you also for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank you for baptizing us in the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. We surrender our hearts and our lives to you, Lord God, and we don't want to just be born of the Spirit of God. We want to be baptized in the Spirit of God. We want to be filled, immersed in the presence of God to where the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not only in us, but it's flowing out from us in Jesus' name. Now, in Jesus' name, I release you to be baptized in the Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Receive
in Jesus' name, I release the power of God. Now begin to pray out in your heavenly language, in the Spirit of God. Just begin to pray that out in the Holy Ghost. Don't worry what it sounds like. It's a heavenly language. And you just begin to pray that out in Jesus' name right now. That's right. Just begin to pray that out in other tongues.
Anything that comes to your lips that isn't English, just open your mouth and speak it out. It doesn't have to make any sense at all. It's probably going to sound like gibberish. You're probably going to start thinking you're just making it up. That's your gift of tongues, amen. It's not normal to our human minds to understand tongues, but this is the Holy Spirit working through you. Your tongue could sound similar to other people's, but it's going to be unique to you. So anything that comes to your lips, your utterance, that is not English, just open your mouth and let it flow out. Amen. Even if it's not complete sentences, you might get a syllable, a noise, a word. Anything that's on your lips that's not English, or not a native tongue to you, just speak it out. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will flow through you. You get more and more words as you go.
That's it. Just pray it out.
Amen.
Pray
There's
it
many
out boldly
people.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Now, everybody, I want to stop you just for a minute. I'm just going to ask everybody to stop praying in tongues. I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to pray again in just a minute. You know, when I was first baptized in the Holy Ghost, I wanted so badly to speak in tongues, but I thought that the Holy Ghost was going to literally come down and move my tongue for me. I just did. I thought that's how it was going to happen. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost gives us utterance. He gives us the ability to be able to pray out in other tongues, but we have to do the speaking. We're the ones that speak it out, but he gives us the utterance. So let me tell you how you won't speak in tongues: when you keep your mouth shut. Amen? You've got to open up your mouth and begin to speak, and don't speak in English or whatever your native mother tongue is, but allow the Spirit of God to give you utterance and just begin to pray out, speak out in the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. That's it. He'll give you the utterance. Just open up your mouth and begin to speak it out. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You just asked me a question. You know, is it okay to speak, to sing in tongues? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Sometimes your tongue's going to come out and it's going to have some sort of melody to it. Go with it. Amen. Nothing wrong
Amen.
With that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
We have a prayer. We have the Holy
with
Spirit
the
books on the ends.
Oh, very
if we,
good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So.
Good. So here's what we'd like to do this morning. This is so great. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things I love seeing down here, it's happening all over the place here in the front, is as people begin to pray out in the Holy Ghost, they often start laughing. They often, you don't have to, but it often happens because all of a sudden you're hearing yourself speak in something you've never spoken in before in your whole life. And you're like, really? Is this really happening? Yep, it really is. And the Holy Ghost who's in you is so joyful. The Holy Ghost who's in you is so happy that you have decided to agree with his life that's on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
There's
Amen.
Joy in the presence of God.
Amen.
It's contagious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's awesome.
How many of you spoke in tongues for the first time today? Put your hands up for me so we can
Those
see.
Those of you who spoke in tongues for the first time today,
right
lift
here.
Up your hands, would you?
New tongue talkers.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, Those of you who spoke in tongues for the first
Amen.
Time.
Amen. What we would like to do is to give you one of Andrew's books on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's an excellent teaching in there. It goes through the benefits of the Holy Spirit and explains in more depth tongues itself, and there's also prayers and things in the back. It'll really help you to cement what you've received today
yes.
and also answer any questions. So can I ask those people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have prayer ministers down there waving books like wild people. Head that way, pick a book up from them, and then walk down the side of the fireplace back to your seats for us, and then we can have some more space up here for people that need some different ministry, some healing ministry, okay? And remember, people, we're going to have prayer ministers here all week.
All week
okay?
long.
All week. So if the lines are long and you don't want to wait, remember there's going to be lots of opportunity for you to receive. So head on down that way. Collect a book for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's completely free, thanks to Andrew's ministry. And then we'll free up some space here for the prayer ministry team.
Make sure you get one of those books. They will really bless you.
For over 20 years, Charis has been making disciples through a combination of rich teaching of God's Word and practical hands-on ministry experience. But we know it's not just the instructors and students who are making disciples through Charis. It is you, the faithful partners of Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, who are responsible for taking this message of God's unconditional love and grace to the world. the Caris Endowment Fund is established to help you continue to share this message of God's grace around the world through your financial gifts. Instead of the entire amount of your gift being spent outright, your gift is strategically invested. A portion of your gift will keep growing and reaping a harvest well into the future. Your gift will truly make a difference in the life of a student now, but it will also become the gift of life for many others, for many years to come. To learn more and to donate, please visit our website,